Welcome to the Food Freedom Habit Podcast, where you can find freedom from food crazies using nothing but your own brain. With me, Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach. Would you like permanent food and body peace without tracking one trigger or calorie? Whether you're dealing with overeating, binge eating, bulimia, food obsession, body hate, or the endless diet cycle? We do all this without delving into past trauma, starting yet another food plan, or monitoring every meal. Live a free life aligned with your health and values. If you're ready for something real, you're in the right place. All episodes are 100% free, so please subscribe to and review our podcast. Hi guys, this is Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach, ending eating disorders using nothing but your brain. That's exactly what we do here. And welcome, and I'm so excited for you guys to meet a really incredible human. She is somebody who has come through so much and, you know, has made an absolute transformation. And I just love that you guys are part of this community and supporting and celebrating with us all of these, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people who are getting free from eating disorders they never thought that they could be free from. And then it's like, oh, okay, I guess that's what it's like to be free. So I'm super excited for you guys to meet her. She's an amazing person, and for you guys to hear her story. So without further ado, Bridget, hello, welcome on the show. So glad you're here.
Hi, Lydia. It's good to see you.
Yes. So let's just launch into, I mean, you and getting to know really what it was like for you at the beginning. Tell us a little bit of like your origin story, right? Like how did things, you know, start for you? When did you start realizing that you had a relationship with food that wasn't serving you? Give us a little bit of background.
Yeah. So I guess like the first time that I realized, because I've had moments where I had freedom even before this program, but I also had times that were really bad and really difficult. And so it was like, I did experience freedom about 5 years ago, and then things started turning bad again. I'd say everything began the first time. I didn't even realize it at the time, but I would say probably when I was like 4 years old, and I just ate all this macaroni and cheese that my mom had given to me and my friend. And my mom would, you know, normally give us a snack, and she'd give us like a small amount of food on each plate, and then she'd take the bowl away. Well, this time she gave us a small amount on each plate, and then she left the bowl there. And then I think we had been eating hot dogs or something. There was ketchup there too. And all of a sudden, my little four-year-old mind said, I'm going to put ketchup on this macaroni and cheese. And then I'm going to eat that. And then I'm going to get another big spoonful of macaroni and cheese. And then I'm going to eat that. And yeah, I remember that just kind of going into this dark place of this binge of eating all the macaroni and cheese. And then when my mom came back, she was like, oh, you guys ate all of that mac and cheese? Like, that was supposed to be for your brothers. I was like, sorry, you left it there, so I thought we could eat it, you know? So that was really the first time. I didn't even honestly realize it was a problem. And then didn't have anything after that again until I was eight. And then when I was eight, I started getting candies, and it started being that I would get these candies for like Halloween candies, like, you know, the little mini size candies. And I wouldn't eat them all right away, but they were like these rewards for little things. And I, you know, go to an event and you do something, you know, get candy as a reward. And then I was saving it up in like a little tackle box, it was cute. It was like for a little girl. It was like this pastel. I remember it was the 90s. And it was like this pink bottom with a
pastel. I remember those. And like, it like went up, like in like the little like layer that lifts up. Totally had one of those.
Had it so stocked full of candy, and I wasn't eating it. And I wasn't eating it, and I wasn't eating it until finally one time in my head, I just said to myself, you know, why am I not eating this? I could eat this candy. I could eat all of this candy. And then I did. I ate all of the candy, and I felt so sick afterward. You know, it's just like the Halloween binge, but it wasn't Halloween. And I felt really sick and gross afterward, but that was kind of where it all began, was when I was still just a child. And it was like my relationship with food kind of came in and out. It was normal here. It was not comfortable in different places at different times. But eventually, by the time I got into high school, when I was in high school, I started smoking cigarettes to try to suppress my appetite. And this was before I was even 18. And I was also, at one point, it was like all I would have in the day would be like one Yoplait yogurt, and I'd smoke cigarettes. And then I might have to eat with my family at some point, you know, we'd have dinner, and so then I'd have to eat enough to look normal. But I would just skip meals if I ever got the opportunity to, if it could look like I hadn't eaten, or it could be like, I ate at my friend's house. I had dinner there, so I don't need to eat now. So I was already in my teen years, I was very much obsessed with staying thin. I was scared of gaining weight. I was so terrified of gaining any weight at all. I thought that would just be the end of my life.
And for you, Bridget, where do you feel like that first came from? Just like that terror of gaining weight and, you know, being so afraid of that. Like, do you remember sort of how that got cultivated in your life?
Well, I think what it was when I was really young, and I don't think it was the fault of anyone at all, but I think it was just our culture that we have this perspective that thinness equals good. And so when I was a little girl, you know, I got put in dance. I think I started with dance when I was 5, maybe 6. And then by the time I was 8, that was when it was really kind of ingrained into me at that point that, oh, you know, Bridget is so tall and she's so thin and she's so pretty and she's going to be so pretty when she grows up, but she's going to be so tall and so thin when she grows up. And I thought, I just have to stay thin. And I remember at one point being like, well, I have to eat enough so I can grow tall, because tall is half of the pretty, but I have to stay thin too.
Yeah. What a paradox. Oh man. Okay. So, you know, you have this concept of, you know, thin and tall and that's good. And then you're seeing these binges come up. And then at what point did you really realize like this is a problem? And like, how did that feel for you? Like, what was it like to have an eating disorder?
Well, by the time I'd gotten to my last semester in college, I was in school for 4 years, and my senior year, I actually couldn't really leave the house. I was so stressed and so anxious about what I looked like and what people thought of me. And that's just part of what I experienced. I know other people don't have that experience, or may not as much, but I know I had a lot of trouble with that. So my last semester of college, and I up until that point, I was like, everything's hunky-dory. I'm dieting, I'm exercising, I'm restricting, I'm skipping meals, or I'm missing meals, but this is fine, this is normal. And from my experience, it seemed pretty normal. You know, saving up calories for the evening, so when I go out, I could eat and drink and be fine, and so I'd skip all my meals until after 7 o'clock in the day. And by the time my last semester of college came, I was so depressed and anxious and malnourished that I ended up having to withdraw from school. And that was the realization for me. That was the moment where I said, this is not working. I think I have to eat. But it was so hard for me. I don't think that I would have done that on my own. I really just was so attached to the thinness. I just wanted to get more and more thin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for you, what was the hardest part of like seeing this reality of like, wow, like now I'm dropping out of school because it's gotten this way? Like emotionally, what was that like for you?
It was just heartbreaking. It was the end of me being myself, you know, because I had always been the most high achieving, the, you know, whatever anybody else said it couldn't be done, I could go and do it. You know, just tell me that it's impossible because I'm going to go. I'm going to prove you wrong, and I'm going to show you how possible it is. And that was my attitude up until then. It was, I think, my first big failure in life. You know? So how do you respond? It was really, really shocking to my identity of who I was, because I thought I can do everything. I can go to school, I can have my dream career, and I can have the perfect body. I can be rail thin. I don't have to eat. Why would anyone have to eat?
Anyone with control, anyone who can achieve, anyone who can, you know, do all these impossible things. Like, if anyone, it's going to be you, right? Like, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Been there. And so where did it go from there, Bridget? I mean, like, what was sort of that dark night of the soul? Like, how bad did it get as it continued to get worse?
Well, it ended up that I actually was in the hospital and told them I have an eating disorder. And they said to me, well, we can see that you're eating. And I was eating. I was eating in the hospital. I was eating my meals because they would bring out the food. And honestly, I was very frightened of I was scared of the feeding tube. So I was eating. But they said, well, we can see you're eating, so your problem can't be an eating disorder. And so then they tested me to see if I had, see why I was there. And ended up with a diagnosis for something that I do not have. Had to take medication for that for a year. And of course, that medication, one of the side effects was increased in appetite. And it was something that I would take every evening before bed. So it was something that would happen where I gained a lot of weight on that medication. So at first, the first few months, I was like, well, I'm going to gain weight. I'm eating food. I'm going to gain weight. It's the reality. It has to happen. I was like gritting my teeth. But as it got more and more, I was like, well, I have to start doing something. So I started dieting again, and I started exercising again, and I started restricting during the daytime. But then after I took my medicine at night, it'd be like instantaneous, I must have food. And so then it was like the binging really got into full swing. And I just felt like I lost all control. I just felt like the person who I was before was completely lost to me. And now I was like replaced with this new person. And I was like a new person living in a new skin. And I didn't know myself, and I didn't trust myself, and I didn't know how I could ever go back to being that high achieving person who I was before. I just lost faith in myself at that point.
Yeah. And at that point, what was coming up for you? Just what sorts of thoughts were going through your mind? Just every night as, you know, you were binging, were you just, did you blame yourself? Like, I don't have any self-control? Or did you realize it was, you know, in part due to the medication, but you were just, you know, just so depressed by that point? Like, what was that emotional place for you?
I just thought it was just so dark, so dark. And I just wanted to escape from having to be myself. You know, thankfully the good news was that the medication was regulating my mood. So I wasn't feeling suicidal, but I think I would have been if I hadn't have been on that medicine. Of course, who knows where I would have been if I hadn't have been on the medicine, but all said and done, I wasn't suicidal. But I just hated myself most of all. I wanted to be anybody but me, you know. Every single memory I had was kind of a form of torture. And every night I would go to sleep and I kept having these dreams that I was having to take my finals at college, and that I couldn't get a blue book, or that I had my blue book but that my pencil had just broke. Or they gave me my blue book and I'm writing in it, and then like 1 second later they snatch it out. I'm like, what? I got a few letters in. That can't be it. This can't be over. But I just had this feeling that my life was over, and I hadn't even achieved that basic level of achievement in my mind. What a basic level of achievement was to go get your college degree and, you know, show everybody that you're successful. And I just felt like such a failure that I couldn't have even accomplished that.
Yeah.
And plus, I was also overweight, and so I was calling myself fat all the time. And I was like, plus I'm fat, plus I can't even control what I eat, plus I wouldn't want to see any of my old friends because I don't look like the person who I did a year ago. And plus, I don't even know if anybody would recognize me. So yeah, there was just a lot going on.
Yeah, like a lot on top of a lot on top of a lot. And I know like it just gets worse and worse, and it's so interesting to me that what we hear over and over is, you know, these people saying that it's so, because it's a weight thing, but then when we talk about being free, people say it would just be a weight lifted off. And they're not talking about physical weight. Like, it's just this feeling of your whole life being heavy and awful. And what was sort of your that hamster wheel turning into for you? Like, what were your days looking like? Like, how did you feel when you got up in the morning? What was that pattern that you just kept dreading every day?
I would just get up every morning and I'd tell myself, okay, today's the day. I'm going to stick to my diet. I'm going to do the perfect exercise. You know, I'm going to do my full workout. I'm going to take the right kind of protein. You know, I'm going to do everything right today. And then by the time I got to the evening, it would be, okay, I've had a pretty good day. I feel pretty all right about myself. And then I'd go take my medicine, and it would just, from then it would, I'd eat as much as I'd eaten that day times two until I was sick. And then it'd be the next day again. So, yeah.
And for you feeling this way, like, I mean, is there anything about having that experience and having an eating disorder and being in that place that, just looking back on, Bridget, you just reflect and you're like, yeah, like that's what it was like. Like, anything else that's on your heart to share about what that dark place was like for you?
Gosh, it's so hard to go back there because it's been such a long time ago now. But I know that more recently, when it's been right before I started this program, it was like, I couldn't appreciate any of my friendships or any of the good things in my life because my life now is much better. You know, I got better treatment. I actually had a good psychiatrist who helped me one time, and she kind of recommended that I do some of the things that you've said, that you say in your program to do. She actually recommended I do that, and it really did help. And, you know, I haven't been on any medication for any kind of mental illness for years, and I've gotten my degree now, and I've had a job for years, and I have a wonderful boyfriend, and I just have all these really great things in my life now, but I just couldn't appreciate them because I was hating myself so much because I was getting sucked back into this cycle of feeling like I'm a failure for not being able to modify my body. Like, I can't make my body this perfect temple to, I don't know, whatever that temple is, consumerism, I don't know. I can't like force my body into this perfect mold of like being Barbie. Like, finally, I'll just be Barbie. I'll be my own doll, you know, and I can dress myself up how I want because like I love fashion and I love makeup, but I just wanted that perfect body so badly and I couldn't do it. And it'd be like restricting and exercising, and then as soon as a food came along that was like, oh, I can't have that, oh, but maybe just this one time, maybe just tonight, and then it'd be like, oh, well, I better eat the whole thing, you know, or I'll just eat like half and then I'll have leftovers. And I was like, oh, but now I've eaten half, I want to have the rest, just a little more, and then I'll eat everything else. So it's just kind of like, I couldn't enjoy time spent with friends because I'd constantly be thinking about what I was eating. I think I got really annoying to my friends, honestly, because for the past year and a half, I was on this extremely restrictive diet, and I'd go over to friends' houses and they'd be like, hey, let's eat. I'd be like, I can't eat that. I can't eat that. I can't eat that. I can't have that because it has this. I can't have this. And so I was kind of getting into this mold of, oh, I'm the really, you know, I'm just really a healthy eater. You know, I'm a really healthy eater and it makes me a morally superior person. I'm just a better person. I'm making better choices for myself. In fact, I can't see why everyone else in the world doesn't eat this way. And, but secretly I was just hating myself because I didn't look the way I wanted to, you know, and didn't feel the way I wanted to. and didn't feel like I could share that with anyone. I just felt like it was just this deep, dark secret that was just really weighing on me all the time. And I just felt like I wasn't as good as anyone else. And I felt like I wasn't good enough for anybody in my life. I just felt like, why on earth would, you know, why would my significant other be with someone like me? Why would, you know, why would anybody waste their time in their life having me around? I'm not good enough. Just felt really insignificant and really unworthy.
Yeah. And I mean, you described that so well of just like, you know, not being able to be your own doll, right? Like not fitting in that mold. And there's just such a very unique kind of torture to have so many good things in front of you and be in a cage where you can't quite put your fingertips on them, to just like not be able to have the things that you have, but you can't enjoy. And incredibly, incredibly frustrating. And for you, Bridget, I mean, when you came to us, like what was that spark of hope for you? Like what was the reason why, in the midst of feeling so horrible, that you decided to reach out to us?
I think I knew that something needed to be done. You know, I'd been seeing a doctor for the past 2 years for physical symptoms and bloating and different symptoms from eating different foods. And that was partially why I was on the really restrictive diet, because I was telling myself, oh, well, you know, I need to eat this way, so that way I don't get bloated, so that way I don't have this negative, you know, symptom, so I don't get migraines, et cetera, et cetera. And so I'm hoping I don't lose the plot here, but I promise I'm getting there. So I had been doing that for a couple years, and the doctor finally came back and he said, you know, the root underlying condition, the root cause of everything that's happening right now is stress. And so I had begun to think that, well, this is all caused by an abusive relationship that I had in the past, where my first boyfriend was very abusive, and things ended around the same time that I left college, and it was just very, very bad experience. And I was thinking, well, I have PTSD, you know, that's the only explanation for this that makes sense. I have traumatic stored memories that are causing physical pain, and the diet stuff isn't the cure, and it isn't fixing it. And I was getting more and more into, because I was taking the therapy approach of how to fix it, that I was getting more and more into the habit of looking at the painful, traumatic experiences of my life and saying, well, I have to go back into those memories. So that way, you know, there's just some unlearned lesson. There's some unhealed wound. There's emotional wounding. Something's going on here that has to be fixed. And so I was really just returning to these thoughts again and again and again. And I knew it was really wounding my friendships, and it was wounding the people in my life to have to constantly be my support and my help. And my doctor had recommended a few different things that would have been very expensive. I was thinking I might have to do 10 years in therapy, or the rest of my life in therapy.
Yeah.
That was the only solution. You know, I thought, that's all I can do, is just do therapy for years. And so that's where I was at. But I could remember years before of being happy, and of, you know, after I had gotten some real help from different people, feeling worthy and getting free and having kind of a brief glimmer of freedom like 5 years ago.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I don't think I need all this. I don't think I need 25 years of therapy or, you know, electromagnetic stuff. You know, that was like one of the things that was suggested to me to heal the trauma. And I just thought, you know, I thought, this Lydia Winty, she seems like she's really smart and like I just saw all the videos, all the testimonials, and I was just like, there's hundreds of these. I was like, how does she have, like, I was like, there's no way she's paying these people to do this. I have a very suspicious mind.
No, that's great.
Program. I was like, oh, what have I done? But I mean, that was why I just thought I was desperate at that point to live. I was desperate to have happiness and desperate for my own survival. I was thinking, if things go on like this for much longer, I will just get more and more depressed and I will be an invalid. I was like, looking down the road, this ends with me being like totally like clinically depressed and incapable of leaving my house, and everybody leaves me, and you know, I lose my job and I go on disability, and that's my life. Like, no one loves me anymore, and then I'm homeless, basically. Was the background of that thought. But I knew I couldn't deal with that. And I guess the biggest motivation was for my boyfriend, who has been by my side for 4 years and 4 years now. And he's loved me, and he's never cared about my body either way, lose weight, gain weight. He's just like, you look great. You know, he just helped me. And so that was a big part. I was like, why can't I be happy? Like, I know I can be happy. I know I can. I've lost the way, and I've got to figure out how to get back there. That was it. Yeah.
And let's talk about getting back there. Okay. So Bridget, oh, this is so fun. Okay. So what would you say was the first glimmer of hope? Like, what was the first thing that you could, like when we started working together, what was the first thing that you could do that you couldn't before? That first, like, whoa, this is happening.
Well, honestly, the first day right after I started, it was like, I could think again. There was something about that switch that it just got flipped right away for me, that I almost immediately was like, okay, my brain woke up, and I was like, wow, you know, buddy, this is my doggy. Sorry. He's got a cone on right now and he's scratching himself.
Oh, I know. Okay.
And so I was just immediately felt more confident, more serene, more capable of having a conversation, more able to direct myself. I went out to buy some stuff at the Walmart, and I was like able to walk around without feeling like I was a sore thumb sticking out, and to just like, oh, orienting myself and saying, oh, things are over there. Oh, that's over there. Oh, I can go get my stuff now, you know, instead of just being kind of dizzy and disoriented like I had been for every day.
Yeah. And for you, like, how is your relationship with food different than it used to be now?
I can eat carbs without hating myself. You know, like I had like two bagels yesterday and didn't get bloated. How did that happen? I don't know. Cause before I would have been really like, oh, I have to be bloated. I don't know. There's something about that stress being gone really helps your body start working again. So
yeah. Yeah, it's so interesting how like we give so little, like we think that everything is about all the little things in food, and we don't factor in like the pouring of stress hormones, feeling like eating bagel is the most horrendous sin in the world, and then how our bodies react to that. And you're like, and now I can eat bagel and I'm okay. Like, isn't that interesting?
Yeah, like I can eat two bagels. If I want, I can
eat. Exactly. Beautiful. So just feeling more free around food, you know, being able, you know, to eat, right? Like, yeah. The process of like seeing your binge eating like change and like get better and like, you know, seeing that freedom happen.
Oh, it started more slowly with the food. I would say as far as like the social anxiety and just anxiety, that kind of went away the fastest. But with the food, it started off more slow. It was like, there was no food that I wanted to eat. You know, I felt with every meal, I felt like I was like having to force myself into eating, like as if I was a little child. Like I was the mother of a little child. Like, you have to eat now. Oh, but I don't want to, you know. But now I'm like, if I'm going to eat something, there might be some chatter around that I need to call out, or things that where I just have a lot of self-blame still going on, as far as like, oh, well, you know, if I eat that whole thing, then I'll have eaten that whole thing and then I can't eat anything later. Or then I'll really have to hate myself, and then I'll really have to blame myself, and then I'm a real loser. And it's just crazy because there were a lot of thoughts there that I had no idea were there before. I wasn't even aware of this stuff. Like, if somebody had come along and told me, you think that if you eat the whole soup, you're a horrible, terrible person and you deserve to be punished, I would have been like, you're crazy. That's not about soup. There's no way this is about if I eat the soup or not. This is not possible. But now I'm like, it is. It's about the soup. It's just about the soup.
It's about the soup. That'll be the title of our video. It's about the soup. Yeah. Like that simplifying of like the things that you had no idea were there before. Now you have awareness of them, and now you know what to do with them. Now it doesn't matter what you think. You still have the soup or don't have the soup. You do what you want to do. Yeah. What else is just freedom for you? Like, what else is different in your life now that you have been through this process?
Being able to go outside of my house is a huge thing. You know, it was a struggle for me even to go out on my porch and sit there, because I live in an apartment building and people are coming and going all day. So if I go out there, then I know people are going to see me. And I don't know why, but that's just been such a huge stress factor for me. What are they thinking? And, you know, do I look all right in these clothes? You know, is my stomach sticking out too far there? Does this look natural? Do I look unnatural? And so, like, I can go out on the street and I can walk my dog and I can, like, go talk to people, and I don't have to sit there and think constantly, you know, do I look funny? You know, all these thoughts that were just running through my head about body language and my body image are really, they're just gone. Like, I'm not worried about that anymore. I feel like I have the complete freedom to just go out and be myself and experience what that's like and kind of rediscover who I am at the same time, which has been really cool.
Yeah, so cool. It's a process of just, you know, rediscovering yourself, being okay. Like, it's not like you're just like, I love everything, but it's like, you can just show up. It's like a neutral thing, right? You can go out on the street, you can walk your dog. I mean, like, just what in your life has gotten better because you're able to rediscover yourself? Like, what's been most fun about that for you, Bridget?
Oh, being able to have conversations with my boyfriend, being able to see color. I was so depressed and anxious for such a long time that, I'm sorry about that. You'll have to forgive me.
It's all good. We know it's the sound of the cone. It's just like,
it's the sound of the cone. But I was so depressed, I wasn't even seeing color. The world had gone really gray for me. So being able to see color has been really cool. And being able to go out to eat and dine, because I love going out and I love dining, but being able to like go out and like look at the menu and feel like a person of worth, feel like I know that I have value, that has been so important for me. It's just been really life-changing. Be able to look other people in the eye like I haven't done anything wrong. Like, I'm not a failure. Like, I don't have anything to be ashamed of. I'm not the worst person on the earth. Just like not having that self-hatred coming in between me and my relationships with others, or being able to meet people, you know, meeting strangers or being introduced to new friends. Like, seeing all of those things have been really radically changed for me. It's just been really cool. And it's been cool to watch it happening too. It's like, and having good conversations with people, you know? I mean, that was my biggest thing. I couldn't even have conversations with people. And I love being able to talk with other people. And I love, I'm an extreme extrovert. being so anxious around other people was just so horrible. It was really, really difficult.
Yeah, it's like people are important, and being able to like really be there and be present. And like, yeah, there was actually a wonderful woman who went through our program, and you know, before she got started, one thing she was saying is like, I love my husband and I cannot focus on what he's saying to me because I'm thinking about food. It's like taking us away from the people we love most. And like these memories that we cannot get back because we've got food stuff in the background. And it's like, ah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. I could sit down and I could stare somebody in the face, and I could just sit there and like think, okay, listen. Like, I could just do that all day and not even get a word, because I'd be sitting there thinking to myself, oh, I didn't even know what was going on, honestly. I had no idea what was going on in the background. But as I figured out what that was, I got to be able to enjoy conversations more and talk about things that weren't food and listen to people and find out, you know, what my opinion was, or being able to share myself with other people and to be able to love them, because that's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to be able to, you know, be a loving person to my friends and my family. That's all I wanted.
And like, what is life about but that, you know? Like, this is such a beautiful thing. And we are just celebrating you, Bridget. I mean, like, this is fun. This is the good stuff. And anything else that's just on your mind, on your heart to share about really what freedom means to you, or anything that's just like, you know, would make this celebration of you complete?
Yeah, I'm just so happy. I'm just like, it's been such a blessing to be able to stop feeling gross and stop hating myself for every little choice that I made, and just being able to choose, you know, like, Do I want to do this, or do I want to do that? And it's helped me in so many different areas of my life as well. There's just the brain space that's been freed up to do other things. Like, I had no idea how much of my brain was being used to figure out the perfect macros or how to plan my meals out to count calories. And it's been incredible because I don't have to do any of that. You know, I can just enjoy my life. I can just allow my brain to start doing what it's actually supposed to be doing to help me, you know, like, calm down, there's no famine, everything's okay here. And like, stop trying to achieve that false ideal, you know, that just the impossible goal of trying to change my body, and how unaccepting that is of who I am, and how that decision that I had been basing all my actions on before, to, you know, make myself feel gross so that way I'll diet and that way I can fit into those jeans, you know, that I fit into before when I was at my lower weight, and how unaccepting that is of who I am. And just being able to say, hey, you know what, like, I'm going to accept who I am. I'm going to accept my body. I'm just going to see how this works out. And I'm going to trust myself that I'm not a horrible person, and I'm not this ugly, broken, gross, terrible, awful thing. You know, I've really gotten to a place where I was thinking of myself as a thing, thinking of my body as an object, and really objectifying myself. And that's not okay, you know, that's not okay anymore. That's unthinkable. Like, I am a person and I deserve love. I deserve being worthy. You know, I deserve to see myself as worthy. And that's been the greatest gift of all.
That's really beautiful. And congratulations. I mean, Bridget, you are coachable. You've showed up and done the work. You've celebrated. It's just been such an honor to be with you on this journey and to have you be part of the team. And just huge, huge, huge congratulations. Just thrilled for you. I love it. So thank you so much for being on today. And anything else on your mind before we wrap up?
No, I think that's everything, Lydia. Thank you so much. I just wanted to thank you and say it's really incredible just to see you do the work that you do. I think you have some perfect, you know, quality, the spark that's necessary to bring this out in other people and to really create the results that you do. I think it takes a really special person to be able to do the work that you do. And I just wanted to say thank you and your team so much for always showing up and being there for me and for showing me that it really is possible. And yeah, you just have a beautiful, beautiful spark and a beautiful drive. And I just love you. I love everything that you do. And I've loved being here and being a part of this community. It's really changed my life for the better. Oh, thank you.
Love that. Thank you. And we adore you as well. And it's just been such a fun ride. And the best is yet to come. Like, these things just keep getting better. So I'm so, so happy for you. And thank you. Like, that just means everything. Like, that's the cause. And really what we're doing here, you guys, is, like I said, we're ending eating disorders using nothing but your brain. Bridget did that very thing. Like, that's what we do. And I mean, if you've been watching videos and if you've been thinking that, you know, well, that's for everyone else, but I'm just too broken, like, listen to that and know that if you're here, it means that you're still looking. So there's some part of you that feels like there's still hope. So thank you so much for being on and celebrating. And we're all cheering with you and for you and all of that. And congratulations, ladies. So this is Bridget and this is Lydia, the lifestyle coach, signing off. Mwah. Bye, guys.
Thanks for tuning in. If you felt a spark here and want to see how these principles can work in your own life, here is your next step. Pop over to lydialifestyle.com/session. That's lydialifestyle.com/session, where you can book a free session with our team. We'll give you a call and together find clarity on 3 things. 1, the exact cycle you keep getting sucked into. 2, what isn't working with your approach. And 3, what's missing to close the gap between food prison and food freedom. We have helped free hundreds of women all over the world from their food struggles. These are proven principles that work, no matter how long you've been stuck. This is Lydia, the Lifestyle Coach, signing off. Mwah!